Stand up on your feet, please. Just lift your hands up to the Lord. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God, for it is eternal, powerful, strong, and about to change my life. Holy Spirit, open my mind. Let my heart receive the Word, so I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Look at somebody and say, good morning, and you can be seated. Praise God. John chapter 16, if you have your Bible this morning, I want to share with you a couple of words. And if you notice some of our banners on the far left and right of the walls, they are reflecting the theme of renovation. God spoke to us and said, Spring Seed is all about renovation. It's all about change. It's all about redoing, remaking, just like the song that Ashley was singing just a few minutes ago. And today we're going to talk a little bit about consolation. But the scripture tells us in John chapter 16, verses 5 to 7, Jesus talking to his disciples, he said, Now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Just the person next to you needs to understand something. They need to understand that they have the advantage today. Why don't you tell them that? Say, you have the advantage. Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. He said, because when I go away, I'm going to send a helper. I'm going to send a comforter to you. And this comforter is going to empower you to produce change in your life. Now, I want to invite every one of us to consider for a moment that apart from the Holy Spirit, we cannot operate in comfort. Comfort is required in a home in order for a home to experience the true life. Comfort has to be in a relationship of a husband and wife if they are going to produce children. There has to be peace in the home. There has to be peace in that relationship. And so comfort is the primary quality that God understood that we as a people need in order to produce the kingdom manifestation on the earth. So he said, it's expedient, it's absolutely necessary that I go away so that I can send to you the advantage of the Holy Spirit who will bring to you comfort. And he will help you to be able to produce the Word of God in your life. Now this is something we all need to understand. We have been called to produce the Word of God in this generation. Not just read the Bible, not just pray, not just know the Bible, but to be able to reproduce the Word of God in our lives in everyday situations. People are going to see us as living epistles, right? We are written living epistles among men, where God is sharing with us His perfect plan for this generation. Now, the ministry of the Comforter is to position that believer in the place to reproduce the Word of God, as I've said. And many today are born again. Many today actually acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Some even speak in tongues. But very few actually know the Holy Spirit. Very few actually know Him in His assignment. And that is to reveal Christ, to reveal the Word. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, His union with us ought to be to manifest the Word of God through our lives. Now, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will receive power. A lot of times we acknowledge that power to be to do signs and wonders. Now, there's nothing wrong with signs and wonders, and we need signs and wonders. But we limit the name or the word power, dynamis, miracle ability, to just get out of tough situations or to break through difficult places. But when I read that, I see that God wanted us to have the Holy Spirit, the power of God, so that we could produce the Word of God. You and I cannot manifest the Word of God without the power of God in us, enabling us to release the Word of God. So I understand that it is imperative that I operate with unified, step-by-step, day-by-day interface, interaction with the Holy Spirit if I'm going to release the Word of God in my life. See, power is to produce. Say that with me. Power is to produce. See, it is a consuming fire. This power, nothing can stop it. Nothing can thwart its advance. So when you and I are relying on the power of the Holy Spirit, then we can begin to adjust our life and manifest the Word of God through our life. In your marriage, in your finances, in relationships, in your destiny, in your calling, nothing can stop it. It doesn't matter what happened to you prior to coming to Christ. Doesn't matter what people have done, abandoned you or mistreated you. It doesn't matter where you came into the social arena of the world, what gender you are, what ethnicity you are, how much education you have. None of those things are powerful enough to stand in the way of the power of the Holy Spirit to release the Word of God in your life. Meaning it doesn't matter if you don't know a thing about business and God's called you to open up a business. That business was His plan from the beginning of time, His purpose in your life. Nothing can stop it. Doesn't matter if the bank doesn't want to give you the initial loan or mom and dad don't agree or your friends think you're crazy or for some reason it's just not going well this week. Listen, those obstacles are pale in comparison to the power of the Holy Spirit to bring to pass what God said He will do in your life. So instead of us trying to work on our own strength to get this thing done, we need to tap into the advantage. We need to tap into the power of God and say, Holy Spirit, I need You to bring comfort to me. Help me to understand that I'm at ease this morning and that Your power will help me to produce the Word of God or the purposes of God for me in my generation. Now go over to Ezekiel with me. Ezekiel chapter 37. And most of us know that text. It's about the Valley of the Dry Bones. But this is what I believe is the type of this generation of Christians. Verse 1, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then He caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were many, very many in the open valley. Indeed, they were very dry. And He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, You know. That's a good answer, isn't it? And again He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now get the picture. We'll stop right there for a minute because you get the picture of what's happening. You imagine going into a real arid valley, very, very desert-like, very hot, and all you see is bones that are bleached white, parched in the sun that have been there for many, many, many years. And they're all disconnected. They're not even skeletons there. There's just the bones of the skeletons, and they're all disconnected, and they're just kind of thrown out all over, just kind of in disarray, and scattered as far as the eye can see. And He called the prophet to go look at them and say, walk around them and tell me what you think. Do you think these bones can live? Now, in my mind, the first thing I'd say is, God, I don't know about they can live or not. They're not even together. How in the world are they going to live? And the Lord began to show me that that's much like the body of Christ, that we have become so disconnected, that we have become so separated one from another. And in this time that we live, it's almost like the enemy is saying to us, that thing cannot live. That church cannot rise up. That home cannot make it. That marriage is just about over. See, but something that God said to the prophet, he said, I want you to prophesy to those dry bones. I want you to begin to speak to those dry bones. Now, here's the connection of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Here is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Because if you look at verse number four, he said, prophesy these bones, say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord was the release out of the prophet's mouth that can only come under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. When you and I speak the word of God with the companionship and cooperation of the Holy Ghost, we begin to release God's will into a very bleak situation. It doesn't matter how long they've been laying there, how disconnected that they have become, how dry it is, but God's word is powerful, it's strong, and it's mighty, and the Holy Ghost is doing something in this prophet. He is coming upon him. The Spirit of the Lord is first coming upon him to get him to speak the word of the Lord, to produce the word of God in his life so that something will change in his existence. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some things in your life that need to change. I know that. There's some stuff in my life that needs to change. And it looks like a valley of disconnected dry bones. In the natural, it doesn't look like that ever come together, let alone rise up and live again. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. It looks like it's over. Some of us are in a place where it looks like it's over. You can't even go back to that cemetery anymore. You don't even think about it anymore because it's over. There's such circumstance that's been set up against you. It is so convincing, you don't even pray about it anymore. Because you know it's over. There are times you get up in the morning, every once in a while you'll think about it and say, well, God, I just gave up on that. Some of us are sitting here with some things in our life that we've given up on. We've given up on them because we feel that it is a greater obstacle in our life than the power of God that is available to our life. And so we've walked away from it. And now God is confronting this prophetic generation. And he's saying, I want you to go back to the valley. I want you to go back to the place where you feel that that thing is over. I want you to go back to where you thought that it had no hope, that it had no future, that it was unable to be resurrected. I want you to go back there. I believe the prophetic word of God is speaking to the church today to say, listen, don't keep moving on. Turn around. Go back to where you left some stuff in the pathway that I want to deal with, and I want to deal with it through you. See, that's the powerful thing. God didn't do it on his own. God said, I need you to go back and look at the mess that you walked away from. Hallelujah. I'm going to admit to you, I've given up on some stuff. I've turned my back on some stuff. I think, well, that's too big for God. That's not going to work. God can't do anything with that. Lord, it's a mess. I made it a mess, and it was a mess before I got it, and then I made it more of a mess when I touched it, and there's no way that it's going to change. But watch what he says. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. So he begins to tell the situation, what will be its end. He tells the disconnected bones that have been lying in that valley, bleached by the hot sun, sand blown, smooth edged, looks like it's impossible, even if you could get them back together in the right order, they wouldn't function because they've been deteriorated. They've been smoothed over by the wind-blown sand. They've been bleached, they're brittle. Even if you could glue them together, my God, this thing wouldn't even stand up on its own. Here's what the word of the Lord said. I'm going to breathe on that bone, and I'm going to cause it to rise up and live again. Now he tells him what his end's going to be before he even starts assembling the bones. So here's what I've got to confront us with this morning. I'm going to take those. Here's what I've got to confront us with this morning. We've got to begin to get the Holy Spirit's power in our life to produce. God made me a producer on the earth. God didn't make me just to take up space, to fill up a seat or a pew. God didn't call me just to hang out till the trumpet sounds. No, no. God called me to be a producer of the Word of the living God. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to the place of the valley of my dry bones. And I'm going to declare to that thing that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And He has anointed me to preach good news. Just like Ezekiel, I'm going to declare over those things the verse that says in chapter 37, in verse number 6, he's number 5. Thus says the Lord, I'm going to cause breath to enter in you and you shall live. I'm going to cause breath to enter into debt and you are going to live. I'm going to cause breath to enter into that sickness and you are going to live. I'm going to cause breath to come into that marriage and it is going to live. I'm going to cause breath to come into that addicted body and it's going to live. See, you got to begin to declare your end before you even begin producing. Some people, you know, when they have children, they don't even have a pregnancy yet and they've got a room all set up for it. They're just talking about it, and before they even know that they're pregnant, they've got a room painted half pink and half blue. They've got a bassinet in there, and they've got diapers and changing tables, and what are they doing? They're prophesying to their end. They're already making provision for what they know is coming. Church on the North Coast, what are you making provision for that you know is coming? Don't you sit there and think that you are going to die, that you are not going to live, that you are not going to make it, that you are not going to win. No, no, no. No, I'm sorry. That was the other church you used to go to. I'm telling you right now, this is a place of life and life of more abundant, and the Word of the living God is going to breathe on your circumstance. Come on, lift up your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, I feel it. I feel it. I feel it in me. I feel it all over me. I'm preaching to me this morning. Then he says, I'll put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and then you shall know that I am the Lord. Well, watch this now. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied, and there was a noise and suddenly a rattling. You know, I like that because it tells me that Ezekiel didn't have to go and get the elbow bone to be connected with the shoulder bone and then try to figure out where the ankle bone goes and then try to come over here with the knuckles. He didn't have to worry about that. He just began to declare it. And when he began to declare it, the bones started rattling on their own. What tells me is that the bone got up and somehow hopped over and said, hey, you and me belong together. And then jumped over here and said, hey, come on back over here. I don't know. That's like impossible to me. I mean, it's in the Bible. I don't know. Do you believe the Bible? I mean, I'm reading this Bible story and I'm thinking, God, you mean these bones have been laying in that sand? Some are even buried over the wind-blown dunes of this desert. Had to find their way out, up, and over to get connected to that which was previously disconnected, and on its own it found its place back where it needs to go. And he said, they came together, bone to bone. Ezekiel said, well, okay, that's done. That's pretty good, God. That's powerful. Now what? And he said to me, prophesy. He said, no. He said, I looked, and the sinews and the flesh came over them. And the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath. Breathe on these slain that they may live. Breathe on these slain that they may live. Breathe on these slain. These slain. These slain. These that have been slain by faithlessness. These that have been slain by the lack of the relationship with the Holy Ghost. These that have been slain. That's a powerful word. Powerful word to me. He said they had no breath in them and they were like as if they had been slain. Let me tell you, when you and I are not intimately acquainted with the Holy Spirit and operating in the power of His presence to produce the Word, it's as though we are slain. You may have a form. You and I may have a form. You look like a skeleton now, at least. You might even have some muscle tissue and skin on you. Yeah. Somebody brings you in and props you up on Sunday morning, and every once in a while, you know, they pull a string and your hand goes up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But he said there was no breath in them. They were as if they were slain. So he said, I want you to prophesy to the breath. Church, it ought to be our number one priority. When you rise up in the morning, get up in the middle of the night, throughout the day, day by day, that you lift up your hands and your voice and you cry out and you declare, Holy Ghost, breathe on me. Holy Ghost, breathe on my family, my children, my grandchildren. Holy Ghost, breathe on everything that's associated to me, everything that's died, everything that's dying, everything that's disconnected, because I believe that I'm here for a purpose on this earth, and that is to produce your word through my life. I like verse 10 in that chapter. He calls him an army. He said they're going to be a great, exceedingly mighty army. All right, from disconnected, arid, dry bones to an exceeding great and mighty army. So you know what that tells me? The very thing that was lying in death, the very thing that was lying in defeat, will be the very thing through the power of the Holy Spirit that will be raised up and will become a fighting force. I only know two things about an army. An army is there to protect what you already have and take back what you've lost. And he said, I'm going to raise up that thing that has been defeated in you to take back what you've lost and to restore to you and then to stand guard over your stuff. A great and exceeding mighty army. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but what would you call bones disconnected coming together, standing up, sinew, flesh, and then the Spirit of God coming in on them other than a demonstration. I don't know about you, but it's time to demonstrate. A demonstration of the Spirit and of what? Come on, say it with me. Of what? Say it one more time. God's given us power to release the Word in our lives to take back those desolate places that we have walked away from and have written them off and considered them to be a loss. Look at somebody and say, you never lose when you have Jesus. When this breath of God comes upon a person's life, He enthrones the believer. He enthrones the believer. The breath of God enthrones the believer. He also enlists the believer actively in the purposes of God in this generation. Pentecostals, those in the past, have relegated the Holy Ghost to nothing more than speaking in tongues. And that to me is the greatest disservice to the very power of God that we could ever do. It was an end. I remember when I was first born again and I was seeking the baptism. I was told how to speak in other tongues, what I needed to do. They prayed over me for 9 months. Shook me till I was rattling inside up on the altar after 45 minutes. Still not, I didn't get it, didn't get it, didn't get it, didn't get it. Finally, when I got it, I was in my car driving by myself. Didn't even have anybody laying hands on me or shaking me around saying, "Bless him, Lord, bless him, Lord." But here was my understanding that when I spoke in tongues, I'd arrived. That was it, man. I've got the Holy Spirit now. I've got it. Didn't know what to do with it, but I got it. Amen? No one ever told me that now that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, it is for the power to reproduce the Word of God in and through your life. And you will be a witness, a testimony on the earth. I tell you what this world's looking for is dry bones to come back together again. Amen? Amen. Luke chapter 4 and verse 14 talks about Jesus after he had been in the wilderness. He was tempted of the devil. And the Bible says he returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Everybody say, return. It's time for the church to return. Return. Return in the power of the Spirit. It's time to return. I plead with every classical Pentecostal under the hearing of my voice. It's time to return to the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking to every modern, postmodern believer that's in here on the hearing of my voice. It's time to return to the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking to every young person, every old person. I'm talking to every woman and every man. It's time, say it with me, to return in the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, throw your hands up in the air. Say, Lord, I'm returning. Lord, I'm returning in the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory. Say glory.
Glory.
Hallelujah. We're empowered to produce. You see, even to read your Bible apart from this spiritual connection. Even if you try to read the Bible, you won't make sense out of it. Without the Holy Spirit, God's Word will appear as it has no relevance to our world. That's why a lot of people on CNN or in various political parties, they want the evangelical vote. That's all they want. You know, I got a book here this past week. I think this year God's not going to vote. That was an intriguing title. I said, God's not going to vote? What am I going to vote for then? Well, it's my duty as an American to vote. To vote for what? I mean, when I think of the options that are presented before us as a nation, first of all, I think about Hillary Clinton. I think Hillary Clinton, what a great woman. She's done great things in her life. But she doesn't rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. So what do we do, God? Barack. I mean, the boy can preach. But he doesn't he does not rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit. McCain, he's one bad dude. 7 years in a Vietnam prison, hung up by his thumbs and all that. Man, you deserve something, but you don't rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not telling you not to vote. Vote for somebody. But do this. Return in the power of the Holy Spirit as a church. Quit looking to Washington to try to fix your mess. Quit looking to the White House to fix your house. I think it's time we start returning in the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, clap your hands and shout hallelujah. Woo! You know, Tom, I thank you. I thank you for that testimony. I thank you for your testimony. Returning in the power of the Holy Ghost on East 28th Street. See, we're talking about, oh, the economy is the biggest issue. The economy is the biggest issue. And most of those Christians who call the economy the biggest issue aren't even tithers. And they're like, well, I know if the Clintons get in there, we added 22.2 million new jobs when Bill was there. Hillary will do the same thing. I think we should vote for her. We all need more work. So when did God say to go to Egypt for help? Huh? When did God say to go to Egypt in your time of famine? I don't know about you, but I found something in Genesis chapter 26. Isaac, in the day of famine, began to sow. In the same year, he reaped 100-fold. Hey, it's time to return in the power of the Spirit. Come on, look at somebody and say, let's go. Come on, let's go. Let's return in the power of the Holy Ghost. For such a time as this, that was the message from Mordecai to his little niece. Her name was Esther. For such a time as this, you've been raised up to save this generation. And little Esther said, me? Little old me? You know the story. It's found for us in the book of Esther. But did you know, interestingly enough, the only reason why she became queen is because Queen Vashti ignored the plea of her husband to come to his presence. Now some say that it was not socially acceptable because the women had their party and the men had their party. The women weren't allowed to be in with the men's party. At least the wives weren't. Do you feel me? You touch it? Some say, well, when she refused, she was only being socially correct. But let's just throw another twist on it. Let's just say Vashti was a type of the present day church. And the king is Jesus. How about your husband? The groom, and we're the bride. And the groom says, hey, I want my baby up here with me. I want you close to me. I want you to come. I want to show the world how beautiful you are. I want to reveal my bride to this generation. And Vashti said, I'm not coming. And so how many of us in this time that we live where the Holy Ghost is saying, hey, Jesus wants to see you. Jesus wants you in his presence. Well, Lord, you know, I got a meeting I've got to get to, and I'd come tomorrow. Well, I can't make Thursday night. Thursday night's my bowling night. I can't be there. And I pray when I'm in the bathroom. Praise God. There's this sense of resisting the cry and the plea of our King of Kings and Lord of Lords that says, we're not coming. And so the king said, all right, fine. You're not coming, you'll never come again. your days outside of my presence, God. Have we become comfortable in this modern era to dress up as kingdom people and never get in his presence? So he said, find me somebody. Find me someone who will come into my presence, and I'll tell you whether I like them or not. Oh, I wish I had another hour to preach this. But I don't. But let me just hurry. And so they went out throughout the land to find all these fair virgins and brought them into the palace. And there they were prepared to come in the presence. And 6 months in anointing oil, bathing in anointing oil. 6 months in perfume. What symbolism there? That they prepare their hearts to get in the presence of the king, so that when I walk in the room, he finds me irresistible. And finally, her day had come. The king summoned for Esther. And she wore what she was told to put on. God's called us to put on a robe of righteousness. What are we sowing for spring seed this year? Righteousness. God wants us to put on righteousness. Why? Because he's telling you that's the outfit that the king likes. That's what the king will find you attractive in. And if you put it on, it tells us that Esther actually did what she was told by the eunuch. And she put on the outfit that she thought, he thought, the king would like. And so she put on righteousness. And when she walked through the room, the king went, boom, 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 boom. And he said, that's the one. God's calling this generation into himself in an intimate way. God's calling this generation, God's calling young, old. Doesn't matter who you are, how long you've been in this, or how soon you've come. God's calling you right now into his glorious chambers. His presence there where he wants to become intimate with you and become one with you. He wants to produce in us his word on this earth. God wants to release in this generation a sign and a testimony of his grace and of his union with those who formerly were peasants, formerly orphaned, formerly abandoned. You see, that's where Esther came from. Had it not been for Mordecai, come on somebody, if it had not been for Mordecai, she'd have lived in filth and dirt and poverty all her life. Doesn't matter how much potential she had, she would have lived outside of her purpose and destiny. See, so many of us are living outside of our purpose and destiny, living in filth, living beneath our calling. Why? Because we haven't got a Mordecai in our life yet. And Mordecai, theologians say, is a type of the Holy Spirit. And Mordecai found her right where she was, abandoned and orphaned and in filth and impoverished. And the Holy Ghost began to speak to her and say, I'm going to take you under my wing. I'm going to cover you. I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to teach you. And now you're going to have an opportunity to come into the presence of the king. We need the presence of the Holy Ghost more than we've ever needed him before, church. We can't keep talking about it. We need to return in the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, say it with me. I need to return in the power of the Holy Ghost. Say, I'm going to return in the power of the Holy Ghost. Mordecai taught Esther her purpose. When the decree went out to kill and destroy every Jew and take all their property, Mordecai went into prayer, sackcloth. When Esther had heard about it, she sent him some clothes to change into, and he refused. He said, you tell that girl. You tell that girl that if she thinks that she will escape because they don't yet know who she is, she's mistaken. She's going to have to rise up and going to take her place. And the Holy Ghost is speaking to us today in this hour. God's saying, you think for 1 minute you're going to escape this judgment of this world and the sin in this world just because you come to the house of God? No, 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 honey. It's time for you to rise up and recognize who you are and recognize your destiny, because God has a perfect plan for your life, but it's going to take risk. No one came before the king unless he was summoned. It meant instant death. Esther said, if I die, I die. But for such a time as this, it's not about me. It's about my people. She came into that great hall of the throne room of the king of the most powerful nation on the earth with her favorite outfit on. And she walked in humbly, stood before him about 10 feet before that great ascent of the throne. It was so silent in that hall that day, everybody wondered what the king was going to do. And he took one look at the beauty of his bride and the scepter came down, meaning you may approach me. The rest of the story, we recognize that God's sovereign will and power were manifest and the people were saved. What is it that God wants to save through you? What is it that God wants to use you for? What is it that God wants to use this church for? Consolation. It's expedient that I go away, that I might send to you the helper, the Mordecai of your life. It's time for me to send the instructor so that you can fulfill your destiny and produce the Word of God. How many this morning want to go and return in the power of the Holy Spirit? Just lift your hands with me now, please, in the presence of the living God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you now, Lord God, the time has come for us to go before the King. You have summoned us. We will not refuse you. It's my turn. Father, I pray that you would speak to every heart this morning that it's their turn to come in to the presence of a sovereign God. God, move upon us now. Move upon us now. Give us a hungering and a thirsting that cannot be quenched. In Jesus' name. While your heads are bowed, let me say this. Some of you are here this morning and you're away from God. But he's calling you. Will you be like Vashti who refused to come? Or will you be like Esther who says, Lord, here I am. I come to you now. If you were to die today, sir, ma'am, do you know for certain that you would go to heaven? And if you don't, the Bible says these things were written that you may know that you have eternal life. The Bible said that God loved all the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Christians are praying around you right now. This is all about you. This isn't about us. The Holy Spirit, Mordecai, has come to your literal existence and said that God has a greater plan for you. Come on. You need to respond to his love. You say, Pastor, I need Jesus in my heart this morning. I'd like to receive Christ as my Savior. Pray for me. I'm ready to come to God. I'm ready to come back to God. If that's you, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Are you ready? This is the greatest decision you will ever make in your life. This is a moment now that will change the course of your future and fulfill your purpose and destiny on the earth. One, two. Now when I say three, don't you hesitate, because God has set this whole thing up just for you. This is your time. And you throw that hand up with great enthusiasm and desire, and God will see it more than I. Are you ready? One, two, three. That's you. Throw it up high. Let me see it. Come on. Hold it up high so I can see it. Thank you. Altar ministers, would you come across the front of this great hall? Everybody, please stand to your feet if you will. Those of you that raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to come right now from where you're standing and join one of these that are here to pray with you. Come on, would you do it? Would you do it? Would you do it? Come on. Come on. Would you do it? Come on. Come on, let's put our hands together and really encourage them. Come on. Would you do it? Come on. Come on. What are you waiting on? Come on. This is your time. This is your moment. Yes. Today I'm in. Everybody needs a Mordecai in their life. Turn to two or three people around you and say, honey, do you need to go? Because I'll go with you. And I'll walk that aisle with you. But don't pass this opportunity by. Come on, ask somebody. Take them by the hand and then bring them to this altar. Do it now, would you please? Do it now, would you please? Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Are we ready? Anyone else? Come on, thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you, young man. Thank you. Thank you. Holy Ghost power. Now lift up your hands with me. Sing that song, Yesterday.
Yesterday's gone.
Come on.
Today I'm in need.
Oh,
Holy Ghost power.
Take the person's hand that's next to you. Cross that aisle, please. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your message of power. I bless the hand of the person whom I'm holding now, the life connected to that hand, the purpose connected to that hand, and I bless them, and I declare that they are returning in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I bless them now in their body. I bless them in their soul, and I bless them in their spirit. In Jesus' name. Now let's give Jesus a big hand clap of praise. Oh, we give you a hand clap of praise. You are worthy, Lord. Before we leave, these are praying and altars are open for your healing, baptism of the Holy Spirit, a challenge in a life that you need prayer, wherever it is, we're here to pray. But I want to say this, guys, March 29th, we're having a men's prayer breakfast. I'd like to spend the morning with you. Why don't you pick up a ticket, register your attendance with us for that great morning on March 29th at DeLucas Place in the park. Ladies, you're having a prayer breakfast. April 5th. Your cost, again, is only $10. Don't wait till the last minute. Get your ticket now. Register your attendance to be with us that great morning where we come together in the name of Jesus and see the victory. Praise God. Now don't forget, Spring Seeds coming up on March 16th. God's put in our heart to receive that offering at the end of the service. We're going to pray for those sowings of seed. And then my wife and I are going to take those envelopes and pray between March 16th. Now some of you are leaving, you're going to miss a very important announcement just because you want to beat the traffic. But that's all right. Everybody run out and catch them. No, I'm just kidding. March 16th to Pentecost Sunday. We'll be praying over those every day, my wife and I. And in the services, we'll be speaking prayers over them as well to believe God for that which you're sowing for. Then finally, here's the announcement. We're calling the church to a 21-day Daniel fast. Starting today. 21 days. You say, well, why are we doing that? Well, the Holy Spirit spoke and said, mix prayer, giving, the word together. Fasting, and watch this thing come to pass. I already started mine this past week because I wanted to have mine right through the 16th. But if we start today, ours will end right on Resurrection Sunday morning. Wouldn't that be a great way to celebrate resurrection? So that'll be on the 23rd. You say, well, what's a Daniel fast? I've never done it. Well, you eat fruits and vegetables. If you want to eat chicken, you can. If you want to eat desserts, you can't. If you want to eat bread, you can't. If you want to drink soda pop, you can't. Oh, you can. You can do whatever you feel like the Holy Spirit will allow you. But just basically, it's in Daniel. You'll see it there in chapter, I believe, 10. And it talks about fruits and vegetables, water. And if you need to drink some coffee and some things like that, that's up to you. But we just want to dedicate ourselves to the Lord for the next 21 days. Amen? Hey, live right, love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you next time. Church on the North Coast.
Jehovah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
We can't do it ourselves.
Each of our lives, Jesus. May we never as a church be dependent upon our strength, but dependent upon you, God.
Holy Spirit,
dependent upon you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Lord, I need more.
So, Father, tonight we believe that we have had a date with destiny. That we have had, oh God, a meeting with you. And so, Father, now as we continue to steward this year as a church, help us, oh God, to walk with integrity. Help us, oh God, as we would shepherd your people, Father, that we would feed them tall, cool, green grass. Make them lie down beside still waters and refresh their soul. Father, we pray that this house would be a house marked by the Holy Spirit. That those four attributes would be present every time we meet. Let us all, Father God, make a covenant tonight that we would establish this place as a place where the Holy Spirit reigns free and ministers to your people. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us yet another year. It was a miracle year. You provided all of our needs. And we thank you in anticipation of what you're going to do for this new year. God, we give you praise. We bless you, Lord. And we know, God, only half has been told what you're going to do in our midst. Giving you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. You're certainly welcome to linger around the altars, but live right, love everybody, pray hard. We'll see you next time, Saturday morning at 10, Sunday morning at 10.